Please stand. Our service begins on page 5. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee, and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. At this time, I will direct you to your propers insert as we speak together the introit, half verse by half verse. How great are your works, O Lord! It is good to give thanks to the Lord. To declare your steadfast love in the morning. To the music of the lute and the harp. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work.
At the works of your
How great are your works, O Lord!
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. I will once again direct you to your proper's insert as we pray together the collect of the day. Let us pray. O God, from whom come mercies, grant to us, your humble servants, your holy inspiration, that we may set our minds on the things that are right, and by your merciful guiding, accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading for the 14th Sunday after Pentecost comes from Ezekiel, chapter 33. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At this time, I'll direct you again to that small catechism insert. Today, we begin anew our confession on the Lord's Prayer. What is the introduction of the Lord's Prayer?
Our Father, who art in heaven.
What does this mean?
With these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father and that we are his true children, so that with all boldness and confidence, we may ask him as dear children ask their dear Father.
What is the first petition of the Lord's Prayer?
Hallowed be thy name.
What does this mean?
God's name is certainly holy in itself, but we pray in this petition that it may be kept holy among us also.
How is God's name kept holy?
God's name is kept holy when the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and we, as the children of God, also lead holy lives according to it. Help us to do this, dear Father in heaven. But anyone who teaches or lives contrary to God's word profanes the name of God among us. Protect us from this, Heavenly Father.
The epistle is from Romans, chapter 13. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For the same reason you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed. Owe no one anything, except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment, are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin, for it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man came to save the lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep, and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So, it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." This is the Gospel of the Lord. At this time, I'll direct you to page 12 of your hymnal as we confess together our God-given faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated for our next hymn, number 34.
Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. It comes pretty naturally for us to avoid pain. Right? From very early on, that pain, we know that pain really isn't a fun thing at all. I mean, who's signing up to stub their toe later on, right? We try to be careful to avoid those sort of things. And so we see how people do this and how they're cautious and how they try to avoid pain as much as humanly possible. Maybe, you know, if, for instance, someone used to play sports when they were a kid and they got some injury, maybe like a knee injury or something. And so what do? Well, chances are when they get a little older or maybe after they recover from the injury, they try not to make that same mistake or they'll avoid that sport entirely. Or maybe, you know, if you're a little bit older and you start to feel those aches and pains in your body when you wake up, you know, or especially after you had, you know, a rigorous day of some sort of physical activity. And so, you know, maybe you start slowing down. You don't work as hard to avoid some of the pain that's associated with that. Then there's also emotional pain. Right? This is why sometimes we're very cautious with the words that we use, especially if we're in a conversation with someone that we've already been, you know, argumentative with, or if we're in a conversation with someone where our relationships are already on a little bit of rocky ground, and so we'll guard our words just a little bit more carefully because we don't want to bring along all of that emotional pain or that relationship sort of pain that is associated there. I think we've all said something at one point or another that later we regretted. Right? And sometimes the pain is inflicted on us through those sorts of situations, and other times we'll actually inflict the pain on to somebody else with hurt feelings or something like that. So we try to avoid pain. But there are also times when we like pain, or when we'll welcome pain. In fact, I would be willing to bet that a lot of you here have actually paid somebody to inflict pain on them. Let's think about it. So, for instance, how about a young man and a young woman who are married, and they might decide that they're going to have a baby. And you know what? The woman knows, even before she gets pregnant, that having that baby is going to be very painful. But she's willing to endure that pain to bring a life into the world so that they can expand their family. People who play sports, again, we'll go back to that. What do? But you find them in between games, they're using their muscles, they're lifting weights, they're doing things in order to inflict pain on their body. But what's the purpose? Better performance during the game. And since I know some of you shook your heads that you would never pay anybody to inflict pain on you, how many of you have ever had a surgery of any type? You literally paid a doctor to cause you pain, to cut into your body with a knife. But what was the purpose? The purpose is that you might be made whole and healthy once again. But you still had to go through that 6-week recovery period, right? Pain. As humans, we like to avoid pain just as a general idea, but we will endure a great amount of pain if we know why we're doing it. If we know what the purpose of that pain is. This leads us into our Old Testament text for today. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak the word to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. You see, these words from Ezekiel, they're actually pretty self-explanatory. It's really easy. If God gives a word to Ezekiel that he is supposed to then go and speak to the people, well, then Ezekiel should do it. It's not hard to get that far. And what's going to be the purpose of this? Well, he's going to speak, and in both instances, what's going to happen, but God essentially says that this person is going to reject your word. This person is going to reject your warning. Regardless of what happens, this person is going to die in their iniquity. That's the common denominator in both of these little sections. But what is the outcome? You will have saved your soul. Or the blood will be required on your hands. Now, we know from the Old Testament that prophet was not a great job. Okay? Prophet was not a great job at all because their words were seldom welcomed. You know, if I tell you you're a despicable person, you need to change everything that you're doing, you're not immediately going to say, oh, thank you so much for letting me know. Like, that's not human reaction. That's not what we do. We don't like repentance. We don't like the law. We don't like to be told that we're sinners. And that was essentially the prophet's job. Was a word of warning. Stop it. Cut it out, guys. Repent. Turn away from what you're doing. You're living a sinful life. If they speak that word, you can guarantee they're going to be hated. There were very few prophets who spoke a word of repentance and were actually welcomed. So Ezekiel has a choice. He can either experience the pain of being hated by his entire nation, or he can remain silent and not share God's word and be liked. Ezekiel chose the option of faithfulness. God's word comes to him, he speaks it to the people, and just like all the other prophets, Ezekiel is not a very popular guy. Well, what does this have to do with you? What about us? We understand God's commands, right? God's word has come to us. What are we to do with that word? Do we faithfully speak it? And rest assured, you will be disliked for that. Or do we keep it inside? We know what the right thing to do is, but that doesn't mean we always do it. Why not? Why don't we have the boldness to speak God's word to an unbelieving world? And I'll be the first to admit, I'm not a perfect person. Not by any stretch. I do this all the time. Times arise when there's the opportunity to have that conversation, to speak God's truth into somebody else's ears, and all of a sudden my mind starts to go, right? Do I really want to have this battle right now? Am I really in the mood to have this discussion at this particular point? Well, what if they get angry? Or what if they don't like what God's word has to say? Or what if they don't like me? Or what if I have this conversation and the relationship with this person in front of me gets kind of weird? What does God say? You see, so often we convince ourselves that we're not equipped, or that it's not the right time, or that I don't want to do it. And God's word is still there, and God's word still says the same thing. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. God has called each of us to speak his word to our neighbor. Yes, this is law. And if you have failed at this, join the club. You should feel bad about it too. That's what the law does. If you're feeling bad about those missed opportunities, it's good. Because this is what God's law does. And in our world that is filled with pain avoidance, warnings aren't a good thing. Right? Well, but that doesn't mean warnings are bad, right? Nobody wants to go, hey, there's going to be pain in your future, but it's nice to know if it's coming. You think about, okay, so let's think about warning labels. You know, open up your cleaning cabinet and find any bottle of cleaning. And what do you find in the back? A warning label. Why? Well, hey, there might be pain coming down if you don't use this appropriately. The warning label, it's not fun. It's not great to be reminded how much it's going to sting if it gets in your eyes. But it's there for your protection. It's there for your help. It's there for your care. It's there because somebody doesn't want that to happen to you. Or, you know, we had storms blow through this morning, right? So what about a tornado warning or a thunderstorm warning? What is it designed to do? Protect you. I mean, nobody wants to hear that there's danger outside, that the weather's going to cause us harm. But you know what? If we got a warning, That's a nice thing because then we can be protected. God's law is the same kind of warning. Guys, you screwed up. I screwed up. Honestly, everybody in the world is screwed up. And God's law comes to us to warn us and to protect us. And God knows it hurts. And the law exposes our sin when we're expect to actually change, when we're to amend our sin-filled lives. He knows it seems a lot more fun just to continue in your sin and do whatever you want. But there's a warning. There's a warning involved. And so we do the painful thing of trying to tear the sin out of our lives. We do the painful thing of being drowned in our baptism. That way we can rise to new life. And it hurts. But after we feel the sting of that law, we get to receive the good news of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus did this first. And in fact, in all of the ways that we fail at having to endure the pains of this world because we're just trying to avoid it so hard, Jesus didn't do that. In fact, he is the one himself who entered into a painful situation just so he could have you. Look at what he does. Jesus, he's perfectly content up in heaven, but what does he do? But he humbles himself to be a human being. You know, we talked about birth. It's obviously painful for the woman, but it's a traumatic experience for a baby, right? But Jesus does that for you. He's born for you. And then he walks along the sick, and he walks with the crippled, and he walks with the demon-possessed, and he heals them. He sees how pain-filled this world is, and he does something about it. And it's not just physical pain, right? It's not just that he sees it. It's not just everybody outside of him. But Jesus knows the emotional pain. He knows the pain of broken relationships. One of his very best friend betrays him for 30 pieces of silver. That hurts. He knows what it's like to be abandoned by all of his friends. And that hurts. And if the emotional pain wasn't enough, he knows what it's like to have nails driven through his hands and through his feet. To feel the whip lash his back open, a crown of thorns piercing his head. He knows the pain of the blood leaving his body, and he knows the pain of breathing his last breath. Jesus knows more pain than we do. He knows the pain of experiencing God's wrath, which is something that you will never do if you believe in this Jesus. And yet, why does he do it? He knew that it was for a purpose. His emotional pain, his physical pain, the pain, all of the pain he experienced, he knew why he was doing it. He was doing it for you. So that you could be forgiven. So that you could be with him in heaven forever. He was forsaken by God because he knew that in doing so, you never would be. That's a pretty great gift. That's a pretty great sacrifice. And when we understand all of the pain that Jesus endured for us, well, what do we do with that? We speak. We share God's word of warning, God's word of law. We share that painful word that might even tear our relationships apart. But we do it so that we can share the sweetness of the gospel. The fact that Jesus endured pain in our place. That way we could live in a place where no pain will ever exist. In heaven. What's the worst that's going to happen if we share God's word? Someone's going to unfriend us on Facebook. Someone might get a little upset. A relationship might be broken, but honestly, was it really a relationship that was that strong to begin with? We speak the truth because it means we get to wake up in heaven. But this is the part where we all have to leave here. The sermon winds down, and we know that we're going to leave the doors of this church, and we're going to go back out into the world, and we're going to slip back into pain avoidance mode. We're going to justify and try to let our minds spin our ways out of these conversations. And there's reason for that. I get it. We're all sinners. But in this world, let's not seek the painlessness that exists here. Let's look to the painlessness that will exist for us in heaven. Let's remember that Jesus saved us by his eternal word. And in him enduring pain, he gives us life. And life forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, grant to your people courage, that with boldness we may speak your name and witness and warn sinners, so that they may come to faith and repentance and so enjoy the forgiveness of their sins. Give your church wisdom and strength by your Spirit, that she may be steadfast and unmovable in your word and truth. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, be present among your people to serve us with the gifts of your grace, and grant that we may receive them with joy. Give us faithful pastors and church workers who will minister to us in your name and strengthen our faith and life together as your baptized people. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, give to us good and honest leaders who will govern according to your word and will. Give us grace that we may not fail to pray for those who lead us and to act as good citizens and good neighbors to one another. Give peace to the nations and bring an end to violence, prejudice, and racism. Guide us to know and respect all life, from the infant in the womb to the youth beginning maturity, and from the mature to the aged. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you send rain upon the earth and turn the seeds into plants rich with fruit for harvest. Accept our thanks and praise for your continued goodness in providing a good harvest and food for all. Give us wisdom that we may use your resources wisely and extend your care to those in need. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you urge us to give special care and guidance to the young and those new to the faith. Give us grace that we may not lead them into temptation or sin, but guard their faith by making known to them the full counsel of your word. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you are the strength of the weak, the healing of the sick, the comfort of those who grieve, and the peace of those near death. Hear us on behalf of those on our prayer list and those we now name in our hearts. That they may be sustained in their afflictions, comforted in their life and death, and delivered to everlasting life.
Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you have given the day for work and the night for rest. Bless all honest labor and industry, artists and artisans, and those in caring professions. Keep us in humility and guard us against pride and arrogance. Give to us a spirit of generosity, that we may share with others the blessings that flow from our labors. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
O Lord, deliver us from pandemic and pestilence, from disaster and danger, and from a sudden death, that kept in faith, we may be preserved through this mortal life, and in death, be received into the arms of your mercy, and into the blessed rest of everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Hear us, O Lord, who cry to you in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, whom with the Spirit you are one God and one Lord, both now and forever. Amen. We continue on page 14 with the Lord's Prayer. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Please be seated for our closing hymn.